Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Coming up at 2 p.m., right at the top of the hour, Jared will sit down with Will Levis from Radio Row in Las Vegas. I know that it's going to be a great conversation, so looking forward to that. Make sure you tune in right here, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, right at 2 p.m. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast and Sportsnet. Elliot, appreciate you as always. We were chatting with your pal, Dmitry Filipovich, yesterday. We were kind of throwing some, you know, future of the goaltending position in Nashville questions around. I asked him, what do you think is the going rate for an elite goaltender? Whenever the Predators have this conversation, inevitably with UC Saros at the end of this season, what would a fair figure be? And Dmitry said $5 million. I was kind of surprised by that. That felt a little bit low to me.
Yeah, and his overall thought, too, was it's hard to get equal value back. Because it's something we talked about with you, Elliot, a few weeks ago, is that there's a lot of good goalies. There's not a lot of great goalies, but a lot of people are like, well, I'll find the good goalie. I'm not going to give you so much for the great goalie because we can win otherwise.
Yeah, you know what? I'll tell you this. I think there's some people who really do believe that, and I think there's some people who just say that. You know, look, I think it depends on what you've got in front of them. You take a look at the thing is, though, one of the issues that I think it really has happened is that how many A-level goalies are really left? Like, there used to be like 25 of them, right? Now, how many are there? How many? There's like 8. I don't want to blow the whole segment, so I'll just answer it for you. There's like 8.
Okay.
And so if you don't have one, and by the way, I think Saros is one of those 8. Like, he's in my list. So there's 32 teams in the league. Let's just say I'm right, and there's only 8 A-level guys. What are you supposed to do if you're one of the other 24 teams? Just like give up or say, we don't have an A goalie? No, like that becomes your attitude. How do we win without that? You look at Vegas, who won the Stanley Cup last year. They've got a young guy who's really taking off. He could be an A goalie, Aiden Hill, but he's really taking off. But what did they do? They built an incredible team in front of them. Like, you take a look at the size of all their defensemen last year, getting from the other end to Aiden Hill was like going through a corn maze. It was really hard. And that's what Colorado did, too. And that's what Tampa, who does have one of those A goalies, did, too. They built a defense of guys between, like, 6'1" and 6'5", or whatever it was, who could all skate, like that Tampa-Colorado Stanley Cup final, which was 2 years ago, one of the guys who was in it told me, in that series, if you go back, the smallest defenseman who played listed on either team was Cale Makar, who I think was listed at 6'1", like 187 or something like that. And that was the smallest guy there, and everybody could move. So you couldn't go anywhere in the defensive zone without a body being in front of you or an arm or a leg or a stick. So you build that in front of your net. Now, I'll tell you this. Like I remember, like, there's one team that I know that they have one of the top goalies, and teams call them, and he says, well, you got to be serious. And the other teams say, yeah, we're not really sure that, you know, it makes sense to pay big for a goalie. And he just rolls his eyes and he said, well, if you really believe that, you wouldn't be calling me. So I think that I do believe there are teams who legitimately believe that. Like, if you know, that maybe you shouldn't pay for a goalie, like you shouldn't pay big for a closer in baseball. But I think there's a lot of other teams who are like, well, if we don't have one of those guys, We have to think like that so we can help us win. And so, like, if someone's calling Barry Trotz and saying, yeah, I'm not sure that we need an A-level goalie to win, Barry Trotz's answer, I bet, is, yeah, sure you don't. You'd love to have what we got, and you're just trying to sneak them out for me. That's how I would react.
But in that same breath, Elliot, looking at the last, you know, five or so years of Stanley Cup winners, it hasn't always been, more often than not, has not been the elite goaltender who's ultimately hoisting the cup at the end of the season.
Well, the one guy I would obviously argue with, Carolyn, is Vasilevsky.
Yeah,
he won two of them, and he got to within two wins of a third one when they lost with Colorado. But, you know, like I said, like, Aiden Hill, although he's rising, like, you know, he was in Vegas last year. He was the number one guy. He's rising. I think he's really, I'm not sure he's going to be like an A-plus goalie, but he's becoming an above-average, very good goalie. But you're right, and Vegas built a big, strong, mobile defense in front of them. Colorado won the Stanley Cup with Darcy Kemper, who I think is a B goalie. Saros, I would put ahead of him. But they built a great defense and great team in front of them. But you know what? Like, I think that's part of the thing now. But, like, you guys see Winnipeg a lot. How much better off do you think Winnipeg is that they convince Connor Hellebuyck to stay? You know, they're very happy. They can, and, you know, with you guys, like, look, like, Lankinen has given you some good starts this year, and Askarov shows a lot of promise. But let me ask you guys something. You guys are all Predators fans. If you knew UC Saros was gone and your combination was Askarov and Lankinen, you would be hopeful, but you would be very, very nervous.
Totally.
Yeah, you got a year to get it right if that's the case. You know how I feel about UC Saros. Yeah. So, I'm going to give you about 8 games to make
Derek does not have very much
tolerance. He is going to stay strong. He is staying strong. About it. Even though Askarov keeps reeling off win after win after win in Milwaukee, for sure.
But it's like I got to have the proven commodity, and UC seems
to be. No, Derek, like I'm the same way. Like, like the thing is, like we talked about this before, and I think this is what the Predators – I think the Predators are a really smart organization. And I think what they're weighing is, okay, we know Saros is our backbone. We know how good he is. But this next contract is probably going to be a big one. It's going to take him later into his 30s. Now, goalies, I think, and athletes in general have a longer shelf life. They're much better at taking care of their bodies. So I don't worry about age as much. But, you know, I think you have to think about it. So I think... Like I said, this is not only about Saros as a player. This is also about Saros' next contract. Now, the one thing I do think is I think you guys are looking for offense. I think you guys are out there trying to find, like, a really good, youngish offensive player. And that's why Byfield's name came up with Saros, and I wouldn't expect that to happen. But... I'll tell you one guy I kind of thought about. I was thinking about writing it today, but I didn't. And this is purely in my head, and that is Natchez from Carolina. Like, that's a guy, you know, he's due another contract at the end of the year. You know, I don't know what his future is going to be there. But to me, that's the kind of player that I think you guys would – that's the kind of player that would appeal to you guys. Because that's one thing I think you guys are doing. I think you're trying to find, like, a good offensive player out there. And those guys are hard to find.
We're talking with Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast. I think this week, Elliot, you know, did a article, so to speak, on his 32 Thoughts. So check that out, please. It's a good read. Now, you were just talking about the scoring aspect. Especially for the Nashville Predators here. There was a stat that was that Willie, we talked about earlier, the hit stat, where the Predators are number one in regards to hitting their opponent. Now, how does that, because you just brought up the scoring, but how does that translate into scoring, or does it?
Well, I'll tell you this. There are some people who think that leading in hits is not good because it means you don't have the puck a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a little bit of truth to that. I do think that can be a factor. That is, sometimes if you have too many hits, it's one of those games where you're always chasing the puck. But, like, I think over a long series, or over a long year. To me, the hitting, like, honestly, Derek, like, mm-hmm. there are teams who keep this stat privately, and I wish this was more in the public domain. To me, the most important thing is when you have a hit or you have a puck battle, who gets the puck? Like, if you have a, like, the Predators are playing, say, the Stars, and Heiskanen's back for the puck, and in comes, say, Parsonen on a forecheck, and Parsonen hits him. To me, the biggest question is who comes out with the puck? Does Heiskanen come out with the puck, or does Parsonen come out with the puck? And so when I look at hit stats, I don't always look at who's doing the hitting. I look at who's got the puck right after that, or where does the puck go right after that? So when the Predators are hitting people, are these just hits that don't do anything, or are they hits that force a turnover? Are they hits that force a battle? Are they hits that create things to you? Again, are you hitting so much because you never have the puck? That's a concern too. But Derek, to me, well, first of all, it shows to me you're a physical team, mm-hmm. and that's never bad. But I'd like to know more. How much do you have the puck? And are those hits turning into something that is a positive for the Predators?
Elliot Friedman with us. Elliot, you just kind of echoed what I've gotten back from Andrew Brunette when I've asked about that, because he sort of inherited this group, and he said that was probably a bigger ingredient in John Hines' way of doing things. He's not as big on that, but the Predators aren't a team that's being outshot every night. So I do think in the context, he is looking for what you were saying. Like, is this a hit that has a purpose? Am I getting the puck back when I'm doing that? And it's interesting that up, because the NHL just did an audit. This is one of your things in your 32 thoughts. Jeremy Lauzon woke up today and had 29 more hits because they were, and he was already leading the league in hits.
Ah, that's interesting. Well, because you know what, that's interesting. The other thing too is, and I don't think that this is a small thing, and Derek from the football world, you can appreciate this too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think you need to hit to intimidate. So, like, you know, like that line with the Islanders, Martin, Clutterbuck, and Cizikas, when the Islanders were good, that line, like, everybody used to joke that if you breathed on someone on Long Island, that was a hit. Like, they always used to claim that the Islanders inflated hits like crazy. But that line was a big part of their identity, because when they went out there, people were like, oh my God, I'm going to get knocked around this shift. So I do think intimidation is a factor. But I didn't realize that with Lauzon. That's pretty funny, actually. Well, and I'll tell you this, for a player like Lauzon, too, that matters. Like, So I did write about that. The NHL announced yesterday that they had done a statistical audit, and basically what it was about was they changed the amount of hits. And I was under the impression that some agents were complaining, and I heard that they were, but I think the NHL might, after I wrote it, someone told me the NHL might have looked at it too, because they were down about 9 hits a game from the last few years. Like, the hits totals were really off. So they looked at it and they changed it. But like, a player like Jeremy Lauzon is exactly who I was thinking of. Maybe not him specifically, but what he does. Because like, if you're an agent and you're doing contract comparables, whether in a negotiation or salary arbitration or something like that, Lauzon is the kind of guy who, like, the more he hits someone, the more valuable he's going to be, right? Because that's exactly his role. So I am not surprised to hear that, because I think players like him, those agents would be saying, something's off here because the numbers don't appear to be right. That's fascinating that Lauzon got the big benefit, because that's exactly the kind of player I was thinking about.
He's got a pretty sizable lead right now in the overall category. It's pretty interesting. He's taken a big step forward. Elliot, what did you take away from the Edmonton-Vegas game? One of the things that I thought about, number one, you guys in your podcast set this up. To have that game in Vegas the week of the Super Bowl was really cool, right? I'm sure there was probably some people that wouldn't otherwise have gone to a game that are now saying, hey, man, I'm going to watch a game in Vegas. And, hey, here's a team trying to set a record. Pretty cool thing to have going on. But Vegas wins, and I'm thinking, imagine this is you're Edmonton. You're bound and determined to win a cup with two of the greatest players of their era. McDavid might be the greatest player ever when it's all said and done. But you got to get past Vegas in the first round. Yep. That might be what it is.
Yep. That might be. That's tough. Well, to be honest, I thought Edmonton was the better team that night. I thought that they were better than Vegas. But sometimes that happens. Like, you guys watch hockey as much as anything else. Sometimes you get what we call goalied. And I thought they got goalied. I thought Aiden Hill, who we just talked about a few minutes ago, was fantastic. He was the difference maker. And he was the reason that Vegas won that game. Edmonton was good enough to win that game. But the one thing is, you know, Vegas without Eichel, their number one center, you know, like, they really competed. Like, you could tell. Like, as you saw McDavid at the end of the game, man, he was pissed off. He was really pissed off they lost that game. Edmonton really wanted to tie that record, and Vegas took it personally. They were like, we want to stop this. So it was a great game. It was great hockey. Aside from the result, if I was the Oilers, there wouldn't be too much I would be upset with from that game. But, you know, the thing that someone told me was that there was a lot of non-hockey media there. Like, in terms of credentials that got asked for, it was very, very high for a regular NHL game. And I'm with you, Willie. I think that's a great showcase.
You track this a lot. The Predators played Vancouver three times fairly early, got beat all three. Yeah. And it was during the rise, and people were like, well, Vancouver, they'll come back to earth. They're not great. But yeah, here they are. They continue to pile up the points. And everybody, even the statistical nuts, the analytics, are saying they're going to come back down to earth. But they just keep going on the roll. How much have they convinced you that they are for real? Because they might be the reason that Edmonton and Vegas have to play in the first round.
Well, they've convinced me for sure. But I think the other key thing is they've convinced themselves. You don't make these kinds of moves that they're making without really believing that you can win. And, I think they're good enough now. I do. I really like the Elias Lindholm from Calgary, the acquisition. Lindholm's a talented guy. I think he was getting crushed by the weight of the situation on him. And still, he doesn't have a contract, but now he's in more of a winning situation. I think that'll really help him. I don't necessarily think they're done. I think they've got a lot. I think they would like to add a bit more depth. I don't know if they're going to add an A-level guy anymore, but I think they'd like to add some depth. I think they're really good. But, like, you know, the one thing I do think is that Pacific division is going to be a nightmare. And to be honest, the top of your division is a nightmare, too, between those three teams, Colorado, Dallas, and Winnipeg.
The first round series. My goodness. The two versus three.
You don't want that. But in the Pacific, as you said, if it's Edmonton, Vegas, those are two teams that could win the Stanley Cup. So, but I think that's the thing. Like, this league now, you got to get into the playoffs. It's not easy. Half the league misses. But when you get in, you got a shot. I really do believe that. And this year, I think, is going to prove that again.
Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts podcast and of Sportsnet. Elliot, always appreciate your time and your insight, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys. Speak next week.
Expecting a full Super Bowl breakdown as well next week, Elliot.
You got it.
Make sure to do your homework. Thank you. I appreciate that. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. Appreciate him for stopping by. All right, coming up next, Will Levis is in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl. I saw that he won a ping pong tournament against Trevor Lawrence yesterday. Big AFC South showdown yesterday. But Jared Stillman caught up with Will Levis yesterday. So that entire interview in its entirety will be played right at 2 p.m. on Stillman & Company right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. But Jared was nice enough to share at least a tidbit of his sit-down with Will Levis. So we will get into that coming up next. We'll react to what Will Levis had to say. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Also, tune into the Chase and Big Joe show tomorrow morning between 9 and 11 a.m. for details on how you could win a pair of tickets to see Def Leppard and Journey with Steve Miller Band at Nissan Stadium.